What is up, and welcome into the Locked On Chargers podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Wade, joined as always with my two co-hosts, John Kegley and David Drogemeyer, three writers from San Diego Sports Domination, San Diego's top sports blog, who have been covering the Chargers for four seasons now, doing our own Facebook Live show, Chargers Domination Live. This is our second season with the Locked On Chargers podcast, bringing you your team every day. All right, guys. Well, happy Victory Monday. The Chargers got it done on Sunday, and that's what we're going to be talking about to open up the show today. Just our first initial thoughts from this game and what we took away from the Chargers' first game going 1-0 on Sunday. And then in the second segment, we're going to go over the game highlights and talk about just the ebbs and flows of this game, a very up and down game where the momentum shifted often. And then to wrap up the show today, we're going to talk about some burning questions that we had before this game, such as, could the Chargers stop the run? And other big questions we had before the season started, and ask if any of those were answered to wrap up the show. So let's go ahead and get into it, guys. This is your Locked On Chargers lead story. I'm Daniel Wade, joined by John Kegley and David Drogemeyer. The Locked On lead story today is that the Chargers defeated the Colts 30-24 in LA on Sunday to go to 1-0 on the season. The game went to overtime. The Chargers blew a 24-9 lead, going scoreless and throwing an interception in the fourth quarter. But the Chargers won the toss in overtime, and they went down the field and scored a touchdown. Never let the Colts have the ball. They go eight plays, 75 yards. Austin Ekeler gets a game-winning 7-yard touchdown to wrap things up, and the Chargers' heartbreak was held off by a dominant drive by Phillip Rivers in the offense when they sputtered to the end of the game. So, John, you were at the game today. It seemed like a pretty good atmosphere there. It seemed very loud, but the Chargers squeak out a win, something we are very familiar with. But what were your initial takeaways from Sunday's game against the Colts?
A lot more work to do defensively when it comes to the cornerbacks if Michael Davis is going to be out with the hamstring injury. Brandon Faison was obviously the weak point, and once Michael Davis went out, the Colts had a way to switch everything around and make it really hard to stop them. Because it went, right when we thought we had him stopped, Faison gives up an interception for the first down. That's a big worry for me.
Absolutely. Faison came in for Michael Davis, who left early on in the game with a hamstring injury. And we were all very high on the Chargers cornerback unit, but it was a very thin position, especially with Trevor Williams, a guy the Chargers have depended on in the past, still being injured. So Brandon Faison gets in the game, and they picked on him on several key plays, including a fourth down play when the Colts were driving to tie the game at 24. But David, the Chargers came out in overtime, get the win. They pull it out. They get to 1-0 against a very good Colts team. If there was one takeaway I had from this game today, is that the Colts are no pushover. That offensive line is for real. The rushing attack is for real. And Jacoby Brissett can do enough and be accurate enough and make enough plays to keep this Colts team in games. But at the end of the day, the Chargers had a little bit too much firepower when the defense failed to get it done at big moments in the game. The Chargers offense came back and got it done and put up 30 points against a pretty good defense. But at the end of the day, all things considered, even with the mistakes that were obviously made, what are your initial takeaways from the Chargers win?
It was like, oh my goodness, are these guys going to charge her again? But no, they did not. And that's the big difference. I think they didn't allow themselves to fail, although they definitely gave themselves multiple opportunities to do so. They got it done when it counted. A very surgical drive to end the game. Ken Wisenhunt probably orchestrated his best drive of the game when it mattered. And I think you can't help but think about last year and all the close games that they had, preparing themselves to go get a W in this one.
And we talked about that as something that could potentially not go the Chargers' way this season, because they did have such a good record last year in close games after being so futile in the few seasons before that. When it came down to end of game situations, things always ended up going the wrong way. But John, even though the Chargers get this win, there's a lot of question marks around this team. And if these games keep coming down to your back, your punter being your backup kicker and relying on him with field goals, Adam Vinatieri missing two field goals and a PAT, and the Chargers going to overtime, that is not a recipe for extended success.
It is not. And having to rely on that, we should have lost this game if one of those field goals is made. If you have to rely on being lucky, and I don't want to say rely on luck because the Colts couldn't even rely on luck without having him. If we have to rely on being lucky, we're not going to make it very far this year. We got to fix a lot of things, and Anthony Lynn is where it starts as far as forget the chemistry, forget all that stuff. You need to go with your strengths on this team.
Yeah, including Forrest Lamp, who did get into the game today, but it was really in a limited capacity. They brought him in on heavy sets, and the Chargers were much better in short yardage situations than they showed in the preseason. But the Chargers find a way to get it done. Again, Phillip Rivers leads a game-winning drive after throwing an interception that almost broke the Chargers' back when they were potentially going to go up by two scores. And the Chargers, if anything, are such a resilient team. And I think that's something that echoes with these players and this coaching staff. Even when everything seemed to be going the other way, they buckled down and they found a way to get the win. So credit to the Chargers. They go to 1-0 on the season. And I know you feel like we told you about the game, but that was pretty much nothing. This was such a crazy game. So we're going to go ahead and get into that in the next segment. But first, I need to tell you guys that when John went to the game today, he did it with the only person you should be doing it for, and that is Vivid Seats. Vivid Seats is an online event ticket marketplace dedicated to providing fans of live entertainment with experiences that last a lifetime. Anything you want to go to as far as events, you probably have something scheduled with your friends right now, a concert or a live sporting event that you want to go to. You have it planned, and I'm telling you right now that you need to be getting your tickets with Vivid Seats, because Vivid Seats offers great prices and easy purchasing experience, as well as in-app loyalty program, Vivid Seats Rewards. With reward statuses ranging from MVP to Hall of Famer, customers can earn from 10% up to 16% credit on all their purchases through our app. They have such a great reward system, guys. Right now, you can get started by going to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Fans are automatically enrolled in the Vivid Seats Reward Loyalty Program and will enjoy credits on all of their purchases as part of Vivid Seats Rewards. And the best part is, guys, you don't have to worry about showing up and getting stopped at the door, because all Vivid Seats confirmed orders are backed by 100% guarantee. And the best part about it, guys, is for our listeners right now, you can go ahead and go to Vivid Seats and enter promo code KICKOFF when you get your tickets at checkout to receive a discount of up to $100. Go see the live event that you want to and save some money with Vivid Seats. All right, guys, well, a wild weekend in the NFL and a crazy day for the Chargers, who end up pulling out a 30-24 overtime victory over the Andrew Luckless Colts. And it started off very slow, guys. The offense got off to a slow start on the first drive, going 3-and-out for -2 yards, looking a little rusty. And you had to wonder if the lack of playing time in the preseason by the Chargers' key starters were going to slow them down. But it wasn't for long, because Melvin Ingram gets a sack on his first defensive drive, and the Chargers get the ball back. Austin Ekeler hurdles a man. The Chargers run right down the Colts' throat on the second drive of the game for them, and they end up finding Austin Ekeler in the flats for a touchdown to put him up 7-0. And the offensive line was getting lanes in the running game. They were pushing the defensive line around, and the gaps created for Ekeler and for Justin Jackson were there for most of the day. But the Colts answer back with a 14-play, 75-yard drive, David. And we knew that's what they wanted to do. They wanted to get good chunks in the running game, 4 or 5 yards, have long, sustained drives, and really shorten this game. And it looked like it might be a long day for the Chargers defense when the Colts go down and score a touchdown on their second drive. And it was really death by a million cuts, because it was just so many little plays before finally ending it with a pretty easy touchdown to T.Y. Hilton.
I mean, it's kind of what you expected. I mean, you thought that they were going to try to make easy completions for Jacoby Brissett, nice open throws, and you knew they were going to absolutely try to run it down the Chargers' throats, and they did. I mean, there's no question about it. They didn't run with quite the same efficiency in the first half that they did in the second half, but they were still very, very effective, and the Chargers didn't have many answers to stop that running game, which is the reason why that offense moved right down the field with no problems.
It did, at least on that drive. And you found out in this game when the Chargers could find a way to disrupt the Colts down in distances, it paid dividends for them. But when they were getting to third and three, second and five, those drives were always killer to the Chargers because they kept giving up third and threes and allowing first downs. But the Chargers came back again. And right when it seemed like the Chargers drive was going to fizzle out and potentially turn into a long field goal attempt by Ty Long, who was filling in for Michael Badgley today, and all he did was be perfect. But it looked like it was going to be a shortened drive until Phillip Rivers evaded pressure, throws a jump ball to Keenan Allen, who only had one catch on the day to that point. He ends up posting up in the end zone for a touchdown reception of 28 yards. A really good play by Keenan Allen and something we talked about before the season, you know, giving him more chances deep, throwing the ball up and letting him go get it. That's what happened right there. Phillip Rivers had pressure around him, steps up in the pocket, makes a good enough throw to trust Keenan Allen enough to bring it down, and it was a great play. And before the half, the Chargers end up tacking on a 40-yard field goal by Ty Long in his first ever field goal attempt in the NFL, because earlier in the game, he made a field goal that the Colts ended up getting an unnecessary roughness penalty on and giving the Chargers another chance, and that ended in a touchdown. But Ty Long gets a 40-yard field goal to put the Chargers up 17-6. Indianapolis would go on to have a really good drive, John, and that's where we started to see them pick on Brandon Faison, was at the end of the first half and at the end of the second half. They end up getting two chunk plays right in Brandon Faison's direction, and then the Chargers luck out and have another missed attempt by Adam Vinatieri, first a point after, and now a 46-yard field goal before halftime. And the Chargers ended up at half 17-6, but we all knew it should have been a lot closer than that.
It should have been probably around 13-10, Chargers winning. But as you mentioned, there was a unnecessary roughness that turned a field goal into a touchdown. So that 13 is now a 17. And then if you add on the extra point in the field goal, that's the 10 points right there. We take those away, it's a 6. So the Chargers, though they had a lot of good plays, a lot of good movement, they screwed up in so many ways, but were also bailed out by the Colts special teams. And we talked about a lot last year and the year before, is the kicking game going to mess us up? Is our kicking game going to mess us up? Well, guess what? The Colts kicking game messed up and helped us. It's nice to get it in return for once.
Yeah, it was nice to get that back for once. And I did forget to mention on that drive before that, Drew Tranquil actually got a piece of the punt, which is what set the Chargers up to get good enough field position to kick the field goal. So definitely want to shout out Drew Tranquil, who was really good on special teams today. But the Colts missed a lot of opportunities, and they went back to their bread and butter to start the second half, because it ends up being 6 straight runs for the Colts to start the second half. The first run goes for 25, then 5, then 6, then 10. The Colts came out and started dominating where they knew they could on the middle of that offensive line and used that really, really good offensive line to push the Chargers around and then cut them up with play action passes when they wanted to do that. Vinatieri bounces back, makes this 44-yard field goal, but the Chargers had an answer for it, David, because Phillip Rivers orchestrated a drive down the field. Hunter Henry got involved for a 13-yard reception. And Phillip Rivers throws a short pass at the 45 on a screen pass because the pressure was in his face, and the Chargers dialed up the perfect play because Austin Eckler gets the screen pass, almost gets taken down by a tackler, ends up running into another Colt along the sideline and staying up, and then ends up staying on his feet for a 55-yard touchdown, David. Austin Eckler filling in for Melvin Gordon, and it's plays like that where he really should have had maybe 15 yards, turns it into 55 yards with that great speed, and really got a touchdown when the Chargers needed it.
Absolutely. He came in clutch. He performed all game long. I mean, Anthony Lynn, head coach, said that Austin Eckler, pound for pound, is the strongest guy on the team, and he showed that because he broke many tackles throughout this game. He was phenomenal in the passing game, and the Chargers used that screen game to slow down that pass rush to great effectiveness. And I like the way that that helped extend drives. And this one, you know, was a beautiful play and just showcased all of Austin Eckler's great abilities. Man, what a steal by Tom Telesco.
Just a big playmaker. I mean, his day was ridiculous, filling in pretty big shoes of Melvin Gordon. But that's where the Chargers offense slowed down and really took the wind out of their sails, because it took the Colts only two plays to have a big play of their own. An even bigger play when Marlon Mack goes left tackle and takes it 63 yards to the house, barely gets touched, and it's on a missed tackle by Rayshon Jenkins. And just like that, the Colts are right back in it, 24-16. It's a one possession game. And those are the kind of plays that really hurt you if you're the Chargers. And when the Chargers are at their best, their defense is feeding off the offense and can get a stop there. But Rayshon Jenkins had a big hole to fill right there. He misses the tackle along with the rest of the defensive line that was getting pushed around on that play. But we talked about Marlon Mack's home run hitting ability, and he showed it right there. And after that, it was a little bit slow. Both teams had to punt, and then Adam Vinatieri misses another field goal. This one, a chip shot from 29 yards that would have put the Colts down by five, making it so a touchdown would win the game. He doesn't get it. It's still 24-16, and the Chargers take the ball right back, drive down the field, get good plays by Keenan Allen and Mike Williams, who ended up getting hurt on a big play on second and 20, picks up 17, and then has to leave for the game. So huge ramifications going forward. He said he's absolutely going to play next week. But the game turned around again when Phillip Rivers throws an interception, a one-handed pick by Malik Hooker in the middle of the end zone. Keenan Allen was open for a second, wasn't a great throw, could have been a touchdown. And now, instead of going up by two scores, you give the ball back to the Colts, down by eight in the fourth, instead of really sealing this game. And what do? Come back down for a touchdown, the last play of which is T.Y. Hilton on the sideline in the flat. Huge missed tackle by the Chargers, by two Chargers, and he gets into the end zone. They run it in from 2 yards out, which they were doing all day long for the two-point conversion. But, John, that's when the Chargers showed an authority that I did not know they had, driving it right down on the Colts. A couple big plays to Keenan Allen and Hunter Henry to soften up the defense, and the Chargers go right down the field. And from the 7-yard line, Austin Eckler is able to get in for the game-winning touchdown. And I really didn't know they had that in them, John. I didn't think they were going to do that.
I'm not going to lie, I didn't either. When it said we got the ball first, I was like, well, hopefully we can get a field goal, because then at least we have a chance at winning the game when the Colts get the ball. And when I saw the Keenan Allen and Hunter Henry plays, like, okay, maybe we can score this touchdown. And they just sliced through the defense and moved down the field like it was nothing. It was a beautiful thing to see. But where was that the rest of the game? And we needed to see more of that this game. We kept trying to run plays into the flats and in the screen. And when we finally attacked downfield, it actually worked. We got to start doing that a little bit more. But the other thing on that drive was, if you look at some of the offensive linemen on that drive, they were actually blocking for the most part. They weren't
Well protected.
They weren't by any means pushing guys around, but they were holding them back. It was like, just stand there, be a statue, keep this guy from getting around you. And it worked great.
Well, when the Chargers can get their offensive line moving, they don't have to have guys pancaking guys or pushing them 3 yards off the line of scrimmage. They just need a crease for these running backs to get through. And that's when it was working, what was going so well for them. But in the short yardage situation right before the touchdown, Derek Watt on 3rd and 1 goes for 2 yards up the middle. That was a really big play for the Chargers, having that short distance, going and getting it to really seal the game, because they might have had to kick a field goal there with their punter. So really huge play by Derek Watt. Had two of those in the game. A huge play, huge game by Keenan Allen, really was their offensive weapon of choice in the passing game, and he diced up the Colts pretty good and really should have had another touchdown. But we have one more segment to get into, talking about the burning questions we had going into this game and if any of those were answered in the crazy game by the Chargers. But first, guys, I need to tell you that when I was watching that game and Austin Eckler broke through and finally got that game-winning touchdown, and I knew that the Chargers didn't have to let the Colts have the ball back, I felt like I had just taken Blue Chew. Blue Chew is the place that you can go increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. Listen up, guys. Every day can feel like Austin Eckler running in the game-winning overtime touchdown with BlueChew.com. That's blue, like the color blue. Blue Chew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as the pill, so you can be ready whenever the opportunity arises, like when the Chargers win in overtime. That's when you need some Blue Chew. They're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than the pharmacy, and you don't have to go wait in line at the pharmacy or do any other awkward things like that because there's no in-person doctor visits, and everything is shipped straight to your door in a discreet package. Right now, guys, we have a special deal for our listeners. If you go to BlueChew.com, and you can get your first shipment for free when you use the special promo code LOCKEDON. Just pay $5 in shipping. The product is free. Again, that's BlueChew.com, promo code LOCKEDON to try it for free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice. All right, guys, time to get into the final segment of the day, talking about burning questions that we had. Tomorrow, we're going to take a more in-depth look at what the Chargers did right and wrong offensively and defensively. But first, just at a quick glance, guys, I want to talk about some of the questions we had going into this game and talk about if any of those were answered. So the biggest question that everyone had was, how are the Chargers going to fare without some of their best players? And one of those players, the one in the news the most, was Melvin Gordon. And how were Justin Jackson and Austin Eckler going to make up for the absence of Melvin Gordon? Well, it was only one game, David, but they did more than enough in this game to make you feel really good about the Chargers' chances without Melvin Gordon. They combined for 215 total yards and 3 touchdowns in this game. That had a lot of people on Twitter saying, Melvin who?
Yeah, no, I mean, come on. Austin Eckler, 12 attempts, 58 yards, a 4.8 yard per carry average. Justin Jackson, get this one, 6 carries, 57 yards, 9.5 yards per attempt. Okay, that right there is production. So, yes, people are definitely saying Melvin who. I'm not going to say that because I definitely want Melvin Gordon back, but you love to see that production. I mean, that right there makes you definitely feel a lot more comfortable going forward against a pretty good defense too.
Yeah, it somehow felt, with even Austin Eckler being the best player on the field, that Justin Jackson was still underutilized in this game, John. When you see 6 for 57, it seems like they could have used a little bit more of that. But, I mean, the Chargers could not go wrong whatever running back they chose to use in this game.
That's basically the right statement. They couldn't go wrong with any running back. And I mentioned this before the season ever started, that I think we would be fine with Jackson and Eckler. It's just whether you got to improve the O-line. And even with a bad O-line, we still got production out of Jackson and Eckler. And even though Eckler had a lot of big runs with some bad runs, his passing game is what set up those runs. When he was catching passes in the flat, making people miss, that helped set up a lot of those runs. These guys are utilized both in the running and passing game, and that's what helps the running game. And it showed today with a bad offensive line that had pressure on Rivers all day. They still found ways to get through the holes. And this one thing too, I want to mention, Forrest Lamp came in and was a third lineman on the right side. When they ran that play, we got even more yards up the middle, not to the outside, up the middle. That's a clever game plan.
Yeah, there was a lot of things I liked that the Chargers did in this game. But I think for now, the answers of Melvin Gordon are here, and that the Chargers are in really good hands. I mean, even last year when Melvin Gordon had his best year as a Charger, we were saying that Austin Eckler needed to be on the field more. So that really tells you all you need to know. Now he's getting the workload. Then he explodes like this, goes for 150 all-purpose yards, 150 plus all-purpose yards, gets 3 total touchdowns, just the complete deal.
He also did great picking up the blitz. He definitely helped save Phillip Rivers on a number of occasions.
Yeah, they saved Phillip Rivers' life a couple of times. But, John, sticking with you, the offensive line was the other big question mark. Having Trent Scott start only his second game and his first game at left tackle, I'm thinking that was going to be okay it ended about as badly as it could have. I put at one point in two drives, Trent Scott gave up three sacks. One of them was offsides by Justin Houston, so it didn't count. The other two sacks counted, and they were in as much trouble as we thought, John. They did enough in the running game at times in this game early on and at the very end. But overall, as a whole, Phillip Rivers was not comfortable in the pocket for most of this game, took some big shots, and it was as bad as we thought it was, especially at left tackle.
Oh, it was horrible. Trent Scott, I don't know how he's still on this roster. I don't know what they see in him, but he was getting bullied all game. So was Sam Tevy. He even got a penalty in this game. Our tackles are not that great. The inside can be improved. It's not as bad as the tackles are, but the outside rush is going to be horrible for Rivers if we don't figure out a way to fix Trent Scott and Sam Tevy, even if we have to keep him on the field and just fix one or two things that make him a better player. We have to somehow fix that. Trent Scott was getting bullied. Sam Tevy could not get his hands on a guy to save his life. They kept getting slapped down. And he would try to hold people. It's really bad right now for the offensive line. And we said it was going to happen. We said it constantly. The offensive line does not look good. We're scared to see what's going to happen. And now that it has happened, Daniel, do you think there's a chance that it fixes itself before Russell Okung comes back?
No, I don't know how you have any confidence in it fixing itself at this point. I mean, I think the Colts' defensive line is good, but that is nowhere near the best defensive line you're going to play or the best defense you're going to play against this season. So it's only going to get worse. They did enough in this game, but at a certain point, the screen passes and the quick hitters are not going to be able to cut it. I think you saw a lack of production from Mike Williams in this game even before the injury, just because of the lack of time to be able to develop a play downfield, even on an intermediate route. So it's a huge question mark going forward, and I don't see how it works itself out. I mean, Forrest Lamp, you would have to think, could get a shot at right tackle and have Tevy go to left tackle. Tevy was better than Trent Scott, even though he wasn't good. I don't see the options here, and it's one of the question marks that I think was answered in this game and not in a good way. But there's one more big question we had going into this season. And it was if the Chargers did enough in the offseason to be able to not get bullied around like they did against the Patriots in the playoffs, where Sony Michel just cut them up and the Patriots imposed their will on the Chargers defense, especially the defensive line, especially the seven defensive backs that they had in there. And David, through one game, the Chargers gave up 203 rushing yards to the Colts today. I don't know if there's any one specific defender that you can put it on, but tackling wasn't great. The push from the defensive line wasn't great. The Chargers still have major question marks on this defensive line.
Yeah, and they clearly wore down towards the end of the game too. I mean, you can definitely tell they were not nearly as effective as they were in the first half, contributing to stopping the run. And yeah, it definitely is very scary because Marlon Mack is good, but there are going to be a much better running backs on this slate with, you know, equal or comparable offensive lines. So they're definitely going to have to figure that out. That cannot happen every week. You cannot give up close to 200 yards on the ground and expect to win games and make it to get to the playoffs. So that's something they need to fix immediately.
I think it might be the best offensive line, at least as of right now, that the Chargers are going to play this season. The Chargers do get two sacks, one from Bosa, one from Ingram, which is nice that they're both getting on the board early this season, both on pace for 16 sacks, which would blow away our predictions before the season. That would be nice. But the end of the day, the Chargers do enough to get it done. Hopefully we see some more Tillery in the games coming up. Hopefully we see some more Forrest Lamp in the games coming up. And hopefully we see some more Nazir Adderley in the games coming up. So we'll have to get into that another time. Until tomorrow, guys, follow us on Twitter at LockedOnLAC and like the Facebook page Locked On Chargers, as well as subscribing to us wherever podcasts are found. You can find the Locked On Chargers podcast there. And if you guys want to give us your post-game thoughts from Chargers Colts and what you guys think are the biggest things to note going forward, make sure to call into the Locked On Chargers voicemail line at 323-524-7924. We'll be back with you guys tomorrow. Big win. Enjoy it now. We'll talk about how to get better next time. But until then, take it easy and go Bolts.